The final piece on our program, which encompasses the second half of the performance, is Dvorak's Eighth Symphony in G major. It's a piece that I very much love, and I think that it's Dvorak at his most splendid. Dvorak, for me, is among the most soulful composers. His music is just infused with depth of spirit, love of country, and an unabashed enthusiasm for simple folk music. Most of his melodies are extremely simple. Sometimes, if you heard the melody by itself, you'd think, how would it be possible to make this into something exciting? And yet Dvorak, at every turn, turns phrases that are spectacular. In this particular piece, he does a few things to standard form that are new. In the first movement, he begins with an introduction, which by itself is not a strange thought. I mean, going back to Haydn, you have symphonies that begin with introductions. But he uses this introduction as a separate theme, which is going to come back throughout the piece, introducing each major section. So you hear it at the very beginning, then you hear it right before the development section, very much similar to the opening, and finally you hear it before the recapitulation, the section where you hear the original themes back again. And here it's presented in a very dramatic, much stronger way, with the orchestra accompanying both trumpets playing to their fullest. It's a glorious way to open the piece. The melody is very deeply spirited. It's presented as a duet for cello and French horn. And it starts in G minor, which is in itself a little bit strange for a symphony in G major, but as you'll hear when I play it, it shifts towards the end quite beautifully into a major tonality. Here is that opening theme. I don't know about you, but that music sucks me in, and I'm transported into a different world, and this world is made even more beautiful by a simple melody in the flute, a typical Dvorak melody, not much to it except, basically notes of a triad played in rhythm, but as you'll hear in this piece, he develops it through this movement into something quite exciting. So here's that little flute theme. Interestingly, this theme doesn't really turn into a standard first theme, but rather a theme that will come back again and again as a transition theme. There are several other themes within this work, and I'm not going to play all of them because the piece really speaks very well for itself. But suffice it to say, we've kind of departed from standard two-theme form. We have this introductory theme in the cellos and horn, then we have this little snippet of a theme in the flute, which we'll hear in several different forms, both soft and extremely strong for the full orchestra, and then several episodic themes as we continue. Other than that, the music is fairly straightforward in its form. You have a development section where he takes the various themes and messes around with them, and it all comes together, of course, for a dazzling finish at the end. The second movement is one of Dvorak's most beautiful. It's an adagio, a slow movement, but within this adagio, he creates a variety of moods. This and the third movement remind me of his Slavonic dances, which I see as kind of the central works for Dvorak in terms of getting a handle on his rooting in folk elements. In the second movement, it's not so much a dance most of the time, but certainly when you get to the second main theme of this movement, it sounds very much like folk music. Some have said it's kind of like a village band playing in town. Others might just think of it as a slightly more dance-like theme. At any rate, the piece begins with a very rich theme in the strings, deep in terms of its sonority, with a lot of low strings filling it in, and extremely beautiful in its scope. This is that opening theme. Again, like the first movement, Dvorak then brings in the flute with a very simple, again, almost ridiculously simple theme, but which serves again as a divider marking throughout the movement. You'll hear this come back at many points, usually indicating a new section about to begin. As a slight digression, I would like to play you what follows this theme immediately the first time and several times, because I do think it's one of the most beautiful turns of phrases that Dvorak conceives of in this piece. It's a simple melody again in the clarinets, but listen to how he uses modes, changing from major to minor to create this very beautiful phrase. I don't know. I just love that. I think it's gorgeous. And again, it's the kind of phrase that only Dvorak could have written. The second theme that I spoke of earlier is a rather expansive theme in the melody, but it's accompanied by a very lively pattern in scales. The pattern sounds like this. Over this bright background, as I said, you have a very lush melody, a very beautiful second theme indeed. This movement also has a development section in the middle, and it's one of the most dramatic parts of the entire symphony. Again, I will leave it for you to hear when you come to the concert. The third movement is actually a Slavonic dance. It would be completely comfortable in the sets of Slavonic dances that Dvorak wrote originally for piano and then orchestrated for full orchestra. It's an extremely lush melody, extremely rich, again, very deeply rooted in folk music, easy to listen to, lush harmonies underneath. And typical of the Dvorak Slavonic dances, it has several different moods encompassed within the entire dance. Starting with a very beautiful sweeping melody, first in the strings and then in the woodwinds. What a beautiful melody to open the third movement. We stay in that world of melody for a while. And then we get to our B section, which is kind of a trio section. If you're thinking in a large A, B, A form, this would be the B section. And here again, we have a simple melody, this time in the woodwinds first, accompanied by strings. And here he uses a rhythmic trick called hemiola. Hemiola is the taking of a section in three, and having one part that moves in a quick three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, and the other part which moves in a slow three, one and two and three and one and two and three and. So the first part of the melody, the one that's in the quicker three, is the melodic part. And the second part of the hemiola, the slower three, is in the accompaniment chords in the strings. So when you put them together, you have these two differently paced 3 meters going at the same time. My teacher used to say that Dvorak, like his close friend Brahms, was born in the Hemiola Hospital, and that when you ever hear a piece of music by them in three, you should be looking out for Hemiola, because as likely as not, you're going to hear it. The final section, which is just a very short coda, a very short ending for this movement, is very quick. I'm not going to play it now, but it has all the elements of the most exciting sections from the Slavonic dances and brings this piece to a very exciting close. The final movement is introduced by a trumpet fanfare, which sounds like this. This is going to morph into our main theme. But before we get to our main theme, we kind of have a pre-theme with a set of variations. This, again, isn't really a novel approach, because Beethoven did something very similar in the Eroica Symphony, where his main theme... doesn't appear until you've had a set of variations on a skeleton theme, just a harmonic theme. Dvorak doesn't go as far back into a skeletal form of the theme, but rather starts with a slower version of the theme in two parts and gives us at least one variation on it before the main theme kicks in. Here is that theme that we'll hear in the fourth movement of Dvorak's Eighth Symphony. As I said, we're going to hear many variations of this, and he doesn't just stop at the beginning. But after hitting his stride with the main statement of the theme, and so on, and then going to a second theme and returning to a development section, we'll hear not just a repetition of the original variations, but rather new variations on the same slower theme. One thing that I'd like to point out about the second theme is how unbelievably simple it is, despite the power that Dvorak is able to achieve. This is the theme. Again, nothing too spectacular, just scales up and down. What's even more strange is the second part of this theme, which is even simpler. ¶¶ Dvorak is almost creating his own Doppler effect. You can imagine an ambulance going by when you hear the theme just by itself. Of course, when it's orchestrated and harmonized, it creates unbelievable thrust and power. Again, a testament to Dvorak's ability to create excitement out of simplicity. The piece, as I said, after all of these statements, comes back into a rather lengthy restatement of the opening slow theme and slow variations. Of course, it does then come to a crashing and exciting finish. I think that it's a wonderful way to end our first program, and I think that our orchestra is going to play it extremely well. I urge you all to come to this concert, and I hope I will see you there. I hope you've enjoyed these podcasts, and if you have listened to them and you have any comments, positive or negative, please do share them with me. I want these to serve you, our audience, as well as possible, and any feedback that you can give me would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much for your time, and again, I hope to see you this weekend.